Good morning, everyone. I'm really glad to be back with you. This is the third missions conference I've done here at Briarwood, and it's just a thrill to be with you. It's a very exciting thing for me. I get to go around to lots of weeks when churches are doing missions conferences like this, but, well, I can't say anything bad about the others, but this is a really good one. So thank you very much for having me. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of 3 John. That's not John chapter 3, but 3 John, a short little letter in the New Testament, and it's found on page 1026 in the Bible that is in front of you in the pews, if you want to turn there. John, 3 John, and we're going to read verses 5 through 8. Verses 5 through 8. Hear now the word of our God. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, we have just heard words written by your apostle thousands of years ago to people that in many ways are very different from us, facing different challenges than we face, but at the same time, very similar to who we are. We turn to you now, calling no one our teacher but you, putting our hope in no one but you, longing to see no one like we see you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you will send Holy Spirit to us now. May he come and fill every heart in this room, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and soften our hearts that we may be transformed by this, your holy word. And as you do it, we will give you the praise. We will give you the honor for it. Amen. We have lots of couples in here and lots of families that have children in them. And I would dare to say that most of you who have children in one way or another have at least encouraged your children to join a team sport. Now, maybe it was soccer, maybe it was basketball, baseball, volleyball, whatever it may be. Parents that would go to a church like this tend to sort of nudge their kids, sometimes push their kids, sometimes force their kids into team sports. It's not because your child is going to be the next LeBron James. It's not because they're going to be some superstar that's going to score the winning points in every game. That's usually not the case. You know why you want your kids to be on a team. It's because kids need to learn how to play on a team. And everyone here who owns a business or is part of a large business knows that teamwork at the business is extremely important. Knowing your place, knowing how to work with others, because when you have a big job to do, like living life, it takes more than one person. You have to get around others and work together to fulfill the mission that you've been called to fulfill. Well, this is a mission conference. The mission of Jesus, and his mission is a big one. The big one that he's given to the body of Christ, which is to spread the word about him everywhere in the world. That's a really big job, a really big mission, and it takes a team. One of the reasons why we go to the trouble as a church here and in other churches as well to bring missionaries in, to have them introduced to you, to give you opportunities to meet with them and talk with them, give you opportunities to pray for them, to support them financially, is to teach and to remind us of the need for working together in the cause of Jesus. Because we must work together with others if we are going to see his word spread throughout the world. It's as simple as that. This is your missionary team that's here this week. Would you raise your hand so they can see you, please? Thank you very much. Now, you see those people over there? They're part of your team. And if you're going to be on Christ's team, his mission team of fulfilling his great commission, you need them and they need you. It's really that simple. That's why the passage we just read in verse 8 ended this way. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. That all of us may be fellow workers for the truth of Jesus by supporting people like these. Now, 3 John is a really short little epistle, but it's jam-packed with things that are relevant for what we're doing today. It speaks almost directly to Christian mission conferences just like ours today. Just as a little bit of background, it's written especially to one man whose name is Gaius. And Gaius was the good guy in this letter. In fact, what Gaius had done is he had followed the Apostle John's instruction and had welcomed missionaries into the church. He had welcomed them. There's a bad guy, Theothrapes, 3 or 4 times. And he's the bad guy in this letter because in his church he would have nothing to do with it. He thought of himself as first, and he wanted to be protective of his church and would not welcome these missionaries into the church. And so the Apostle John writes this letter to praise Gaius and the people that followed him and to oppose the closed church that had rejected the missionaries. So it speaks to us today, because many of us would think in our day, so much is going on in our country. So many bad things are happening in my personal life, in my family life, in my state, in my nation, that I really just don't have time to think about people going all around the world. I mean, think about it for a minute. Did you hear the places that were mentioned as they came up here and introduced themselves to you? A lot of strange places out there, far away. So why should you bother with that? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Why your church, why your life ought not be closed to people like these, but rather joined in harmony, joined in teamwork, so that we will be fellow workers for the truth of Christ. What I love about this passage we just read is that it defines and describes different parts of the team. And I want us to just sort of walk through this passage and consider what the apostle says about these two different groups that have to work together in order to fulfill the mission of Jesus. And the first group that he talks about, and we'll highlight just some of the things he says, are those missionaries. That's the first group, the missionaries. And you'll notice even beginning in verse 5, he says, Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. Notice that he calls them brothers. Brothers and sisters. That means that as he writes to a church like yours here, he's not talking about people who don't belong. He's not talking about people who are disconnected, but rather he's talking about your family members, brothers and sisters in the family of Christ. And that's what these missionaries are who are before you today. Your brothers, your sisters, your family, your team for the kingdom of Jesus. But at the same time, while he calls them brothers, he also calls them strangers as they are. Now, that word doesn't mean that they're strange. What it means is, well, it's an Old Testament word that describes people who would be travelers. The Old Testament many times will speak of taking care of the stranger who comes to your home, providing hospitality for them, being good to them, being kind to them. Because in the ancient world, traveling was not the kind of thing that you did with great safety or great comfort, but rather it was something that was very life-threatening. And so strangers as they were. Why? Because these people were actually, as he says in verse 6, on a journey. They were moving around. They were walking around. They were traveling around. That's what missionaries do. Unlike most of us in the room today who stay at home and basically sink our roots deep into the soil where we are, doing the good things of life, getting married, finding a job, raising children, buying that house, retiring, even retiring. While we do those good things, The missionaries, strangers as they were, are on a journey without those things. Just imagine yourself as a stranger in a very distant land. I had that experience one time walking through the city of Beijing, the first time I'd ever been to Beijing, many, many years ago now, back when it was a little more unusual for an American to be there. And I can remember that I was walking out of the hotel and I was going to be very careful, and I noticed what the little sign up there said, the road sign, and I noticed the little symbol there, and I said, okay, I'm going to walk straight down this street and I'll be able to find my way back by finding that sign again. Well, as I walked down the street, block after block after block, I didn't pay much attention, but I decided, well, it's the end, so I'm tired, so I'll just turn around and go back. And then I looked up at the first sign, and I noticed that symbol was on that sign. And I went to the next street, and that symbol was on that sign again. And the next street, and that symbol was on that sign again. And the next one, and the next one, found out later that the word basically meant boulevard. That's being a stranger in a strange place. I couldn't find my way back, didn't know what to do. No one spoke English much in those days in Beijing. So finally I ran by accident into Ronald McDonald's in Beijing, went inside, called a cab, made it back to the hotel. Now I can just tell you that was not an easy experience for me in those days. Being a stranger, being a person on a journey is not easy. And this church needs to realize something about these wonderful people over here, these wonderful missionaries. Their lives are difficult. Many of them are learning new languages. Many of them are living in cultures that are so different from yours and mine, you could not even imagine the sorts of challenges they face. They are living lives where, well, they struggle in every direction just simply to find the basic orientation of their lives. It takes years and years to get to the point that you can do that. Some are living in lands that are unnamed today. In fact, some of these have changed their names. They're giving you pseudonyms this morning because they live in nations and work in nations for the sake of Christ where it is dangerous for them to be there. Not just for them, but for their children as well. Just imagine yourself and all the problems that you have in your life. Don't you have a lot of them? You know, we all struggle in various ways, don't we? Well, missionaries have all these things that are true of their lives that make life very difficult as those who are on a journey. But they also have the normal, everyday problems you and I have as well. They have children whom they want to see grow in the ways of Christ, and they're living in a hostile land. They have children who will never know their grandparents. They have struggles in their marriages, just like you and I have struggles in our marriages. They grow sick, but many of them are facing the situation where they're not even sure that the medical care where they live is good enough for them or their kids. These are people who are making enormous sacrifices for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, the apostle mentions here that you can trust these people. They're not charlatans because they don't go around making money from the Gentiles. You see, in the apostles' day, it was a common practice for teachers and the like, philosophers, to go around door to door like a door to door salesman knocking on the door and say, if you give me some money, I'll teach your kids. If you give me some money, I'll do this for you. If you give me some money, I'll pray for you. He says, that's not what these people are like. These people are on a mission. These people are on a journey, but not like that. They're not robbing. They're not charlatans. They're not fakes. No. Why are they doing all of this? He makes it very clear, doesn't he? In verse 7, for they have gone out for the sake of the name. I know many of these people over here. I have been with them, both here in this country and outside in the field. I have gotten to know them because, well, we keep bumping into each other at missions conferences, don't we? Over and over and over again. And as you get to know them, you realize that the depth of the hardships that they face cannot even be imagined by people like you and me who live in the safety and comfort of this place. Why do they do it? Why do they make all these sacrifices? It's because God has called them to serve the cause of the name of Jesus. You see, the scriptures say that everyone in the world, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you have done, that if you will call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. And what drives these missionaries of yours from this church is that they want the world to hear the name of Jesus so that men, women, and children everywhere may call on him and be saved to the glory of their God. That's what it's all about. And they're driven by this. Through the thick and the thin, through the complications of life that they face where they are on their journey. Now, I would dare to say that most of us, if we took seriously the call of Jesus to spread his gospel around the world, most of us here today would say, you know, I could never do that. I could never, I just could never go on that. I've got too much invested here. I've got too many responsibilities here, too much safety. I'm just not that kind of person. And that's okay, because God doesn't call everyone to be a traveling missionary. But at the same time, all of us here today can realize that while they have need, we also need them. How wonderful it is that we are able to become fellow workers for the truth because of them, because of their sacrifice and their devotion. So what should be our response? Let's go to the other side. Because the Apostle John doesn't just talk about these travelers. The Apostle John also talks about the people who stay home. And what he says is, it's a marvelous thing that he says. He says in verse 6, he says, "You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God." Now think about that for just a moment. What would be a manner that is worthy of God? That is worthy of the honor that God himself has, worthy of the praise that God himself deserves, worthy of the purposes of God, worthy of the glory of God himself. What would it mean to send someone on their journey worthy of God himself in a manner that honors God that way? Well, just think about it this way. If you're a follower of Christ today, you know, you have a glimpse of how much God is worthy of your praise and your devotion because of all that he has done for you. Is there anyone in the room today who can say, "No, what's going on in my life is because of me. I have eternal salvation because of me. I have eternal life because of me. I have hope in this world because of me." Can anyone honestly say that? The reality is no. You have all of these gifts, all of these wonderful blessings because God has given them to you. And for that reason, because he has been so gracious to you and to me, we are to send these in their journey in a manner that is worthy of the praise that we owe to our God. So as you think of how you consider a missions conference, would you say that your involvement in the missions conference, your involvement with them, is sending them out in a manner that is worthy of God, worthy of what you owe to him, worthy of the glory that he deserves to receive from you, that is what the apostle calls us to do. He speaks of this in verse 5 as a faithful thing. And he also says that Gaius and his followers are being faithful in putting forth all their efforts for these brothers. Effort. Usually when you have a missions conference, the missionaries work very hard. It's been a theme, hasn't it? Yeah. It's been a theme as Brian and others have been talking with them. They said, now, I hate to tell you this, but this is not going to be a vacation for you this week. Has it been so far? No. And it won't be until you're done and get out of here. Great. Okay. But notice what this passage says. It's not that the missionaries who are visiting the church are the ones who are to be putting forth all the effort. Who is to be putting forth the effort? We are. We are the ones who are to be putting forth the effort. But if you go to a typical church conference on missions, basically it's the missionaries who are putting on all the effort. They hold little meetings, they hold little times with the kids, and hold times for you, visiting your homes, doing this, doing that, preaching and teaching, revealing the things that are going on in their lives to you. And you and I sit back and watch the show. That's not what the Apostle John would want this missions conference to be this week. He would want it to be a time when we the sedentary ones, we the ones who stay at home, that we are putting forth the effort toward them. And what kind of effort should it be? Notice what the Apostle says here. He says that in verse 6, it is to be your love before the church. If you know anything about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you know this. It talks about love all the time. Love for God and love for neighbor. The two great commandments that Jesus identified throughout the whole Old Testament. Love for God, love for neighbor. When he says at the beginning of this passage that you're being faithful, that's love for God. Because in the world of the Bible, when it spoke of honoring God with love for him, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, well, it was to honor God and to love God as your great king who rules over you, who owns you, who has given you life and breath to live for him. That's the greatest commandment in the whole Bible, to be faithful to God, faithfully in love with God. But Jesus didn't stop there when he talked about love, did he? He said the second greatest commandment in the Bible is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this too was the way that kings in the ancient world of the Bible spoke to their people. Not just that they wanted their people to love them and be devoted to them in faithfulness, to be sure, that was important. But kings time and again, from ancient days in the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, would repeatedly call on the people of their empires to do this. Love one another. Love one another. And you know why? It's because if you're a king of a great nation and you want that nation to grow and to be strong, then the people of that nation must stand with each other. The loyalty we have for God spills over into loyalty for each other. A lot of you wonder, why should you stay in your marriage? Why should you continue to love your spouse and grow in love for spouse for the sake of the strength of the kingdom of God throughout the world? That's why. Some of you wonder, why should I love my children? For the sake of the strength of the kingdom of God throughout the world. That's why. Why should I love my neighbor? For the sake of the kingdom of God throughout the world. And why should you love these missionaries and put effort into loving them while they are here with you this week? For the sake of the spread of the kingdom of God throughout the world. You may meet them and not even like them. You may think, wow, that's weird. Can't even understand what she's saying to me. but you can love them for the sake of the kingdom. You see, this is what the wonder of missions conference is. It alerts us to something. It alerts us to the fact that God is building his kingdom throughout the world. And he will build his kingdom through us, under the lordship of Christ and by the power of the Spirit. But this building of the kingdom requires all of us to work together. So I have a challenge for you for this week. I know that many who are here this morning probably never come to church except on Sunday morning. I want to challenge you this week to faithfulness to your God and love for your neighbor. Come back. With the entire first half of this week is going to be devoted to talking about how the scriptures teach us to work together for building the kingdom of God. You will have opportunities to hear the word of God preached. You'll have opportunities to learn who these people are. You'll be able to see them, talk with them, and offer your love to them. Well, how am I going to do that, Richard? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's obvious. You need to know who they are. You need to speak words of kindness and encouragement to them. Way to go. We are so proud of you. We're so proud to be associated with you. I'm so glad you are my friend. And I want to stand arm in arm with you in the love of Jesus for the sake of the kingdom. I'll do that for you. Come back. Say those words to them. And of course, when they leave us, they leave with our prayers. I will pray for you, and I will not forget to pray for you. And finally, as the apostle points out here, we offer them our financial support. This is how you and I become joint fellow workers with them for the sake of the kingdom of God. You teach your children that, don't you, when you put them on those teams? Your bosses require you to learn how to work as a team at your company, don't they? It's common sense, but ever so important for the sake of Jesus' kingdom. We need them. They need us. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Let's pray together. Our Lord Jesus, how we love you and adore you. Thank you for speaking so clearly to us from what the apostle wrote. Grant to us now, Holy Spirit, the power to live these truths today. Lord, we are prone to live selfish lives, prone to be overly concerned with ourselves, prone to just think of living for you as something that we do privately. Forgive us. Holy Spirit, come upon us and use the same power you used to resurrect Jesus from the dead to resurrect us into newness of life, that we may walk in the power of the Spirit together as fellow workers for the truth. Amen.